and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan, and I will be your host for about the next 10 minutes or so as we try to walk you down the path to profits in NFL Week 4. That fella right there, that's Todd Furman. He is a professional bettor, former odds maker, all-around good guy, one of the smartest guys in the biz, I will say that, and relentless Jets bettor. Relentless Jets better.
hey, blind optimism paid off in improbable fashion last week. But you know what, J-Lo? I can exercise the demons. We are done with the Jets, at least for this week.
All right. Kind of a hot and cold start for us here on the podcast. I had a quick and dirty winner on Thursday. And then we had the damn Panthers pitch a shutout against both of our touchdown anytime bets. We've been picking on the Panthers. Shut that one out. The Jets came back from the dead to cover for you. And then my Javonte Williams over 16 and a half yards receiving. You know how many receiving yards he had?
Negative yardage?
16.
Well, you know what, J-Lo, to your credit, the silver lining, I guess, well, maybe not so much, is that that bet paid the exact same as my Cincinnati Bengals plus three ticket. That was in the trash can about 4 minutes into the game when I once again realized how bad that offensive line really is and how difficult it is to overcome Isaiah Rodgers being the one-man wrecking crew on that Vikings defense.
That was nuts. Yeah, that my Minnesota defense won some fantasy games for plenty of people there. That week three kind of seemed a little weird. Was it weird? Maybe it's just because the first 2 weeks were so vanilla. Maybe we're starting to see some variance here.
There's no doubt. I mean, I think as we continue to accumulate data points for some of these teams, there are a couple sides that think they're really good. There are a couple teams that know they're really bad. And it's trying to identify a couple of those teams in the mushy middle with a little bit of volatility. But credit to the odds makers. Look, they're not in the business of giving away a free lunch. And every time you think you've got an easy one lined up, like maybe the Los Angeles Rams plus 3.5, the gambling gods decide, you know what, I'll crunch rare. A 26-7 lead is never comfortable, especially when Jordan Davis sees nothing but green grass in front of him.
That's right. I got to say, in 20 plus years of doing it, it was one of the greatest wins or worst beats that I have ever seen. Because that one was a wild finish. Before we get into week four, though, we ask that if you are listening to the Sharp 600 podcast, please take a few seconds, rate the podcast, review the podcast, let us know what you think. If you're watching us and you're among the growing masses watching us on YouTube each week, like the Sharp 600, subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. There's some fantastic stuff on there, daily content. We're coming up to the sports equinox. We're going to have hockey. We're going to have basketball back. We're going to be in baseball playoffs. Everything is going to be boiling at once. A lot of pots on the stove, and we're going to be able to cover it all on that Covers YouTube channel, which is fantastic. All right, Todd, let's not wait any longer. Mick, give us 600 seconds on the clock. All right, we love our games here on the Sharp 600. And one game that we do like to play is Would You Rather. It's like a sleepover game, right? Todd, it's sleepover time. I'm going
to
give you
two. You've never invited me to your house, Jayla. You've never invited me for a sleepover, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, make your way up here, and there's an open bed for you for sure. I'm going to give you two options. You tell me which one you would rather, right? Simple enough. So would you rather bet the Lions to win the NFC North at plus 180 or the Rams to win the NFC West at plus 200?
Man, did the Lions look good on Monday Night Football. A complete offensive effort, and the defense looks tenacious with a healthy Aiden Hutchinson. But I'm going to take the price on the Rams at plus $2. I think the NFC West is ripe for the picking. I'm not a buyer in the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Seahawks are a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And look, if we check the injury report again next week, the 49ers could be down another three or four starters. So I'll take the Rams, even with a banged-up Matthew Stafford.
All right, something in the water there in the Bay Area, that's for sure. Would you rather take Dak Prescott plus 425 or Daniel Jones plus 425 to win comeback player of the year?
So if you can explain to me the exact criteria, if I have to come back from injury like the NFL claims it to be, it's got to be Dak Prescott. If you're coming back from the grave looking for a career resurrection, then Daniel Jones makes a world of sense. I do think Christian McCaffrey probably wins this award if he keeps up his production. But based on the two quarterbacks you laid out, I'll take Dak Prescott at a similar price.
Okay, very good. Cowboy and me smileys. Would you rather watch a game like the Lions and Ravens that we had on primetime, which was fantastic, in a packed Vegas sports book, or would watch any game involving the Saints live from the 50-yard line?
So I'm a little bitter and jaded and all that. There's nothing I enjoy more than watching a game in the comfort of home. So a crowded sportsbook for me is probably the last option on the list. I know people go, wait a second, you work and live in Vegas? I go, yeah, I've spent enough Sundays watching games there. Yes. I've been to the Superdome, was down there for a Steelers-Saints game. Even when the team stinks, It is an electric atmosphere. It's a whole lot of fun, and it's always a party down there. If you get the chance to spend a football weekend in New Orleans, even if the Saints go 0-17, take that 50-yard line seat, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Superdome was pretty awesome. We were there for Super Bowl last year. Would you rather take the Falcons plus 200 or the Patriots plus 210 to make the playoffs?
I think this Falcons team is a buy low candidate. More on a little bit later in the show on this team. I know their schedule gets a little bit quirky as the season progresses with some weird home road splits and everything else. But if Michael Penix can take the next step, I think the NFC is a muddled mess after a couple of the elite teams. And while the Patriots deserve better fortune than what we saw last weekend, I still think they're a couple of players away. So I think the Falcons at plus $2 is actually a little bit of a value proposition to get into the NFC playoff picture.
All right. Would you rather take the Denver Broncos over 8.5 wins, minus 135, or the Steelers to go under 8.5 wins, minus 130? Mike Tomlin,
you know,
losing streak?
Or win streak? I got to be careful what I say around these parts when it comes to the Steelers. Inevitably, they find a way to get to 9 wins. But you watch that team, J-Lo, through the first 3 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look like a bottom 5 team in the NFL. But in typical Tomlin fashion, it's smoke and mirrors leading to a 2-1 record. Look, I don't necessarily love what I've seen in year two of the Bo Nix experience. But I will be a buyer on the Denver Broncos. I think they get to 500 with a dominant win this weekend against the Bengals. And better things ahead for one of the top defenses in the National Football League.
Yeah, Steelers just always seem to generate the takeaways. Even if maybe some of those were gift wrapped last week.
that's the question. Are they generated or are they handed off?
It's a tough thing to quantify.
Gesture of altruism for the New England Patriots last Sunday.
All right, it's a good one. And I changed the wording on this. I was going to say Cowboys jersey, but no one wants to wear a Cowboys jersey right now. So would you rather wear an opponent's jersey for an entire game at Lincoln Financial Field, or would you try to block Myles Garrett for one snap? What would you rather?
I'm not sure I'd rather do any of those. I'd probably have a death wish for both of them. Wearing a Yankee jersey in Fenway before the Red Sox won the World Series, I felt like I was really tempting the fates. Don't wear an opponent jersey at Lincoln Financial Field. And at least with Myles Garrett, J-Lo, I can at least duck and cover because I'm going to provide absolutely no resistance to a player that's got his speed, his physicality, and probably a good 100 pounds on my slight petite frame of sorts.
It would just be a big poof. I think that would be the end of it. All right, last one here. Would you rather, I'm going to give you the Eagles or the Packers, or you could take the field to win the NFC Championship?
I'm going to take the field just because if there's an injury or two, I think you can end up on the right side of variance. I have questions about the Eagles offensively the second half, notwithstanding against the Rams. And look, Matt LaFleur, he may be a wizard when it comes to calling plays, but I worry about those conservative tendencies. So give me the field in the NFC against the two big boys.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Todd. Thursday night football time, we got an NFC West war in Arizona, the Cardinals hosting the Seahawks. This one opened Arizona as a short favorite at home. Now it's flipped. We're seeing Seattle minus 1.5 road chalk. Todd, do you agree with the move? And what do you got going here on Thursday night football?
What a phenomenal game. One that I think is going to tell us quite a bit about these two teams who, in my opinion, are in that second tier in the NFC West. Arizona, extremely disappointing in their performance on Sunday against the 49ers. I think they'll bounce back a bit here, but you'd like to see Kyler Murray target his wide receivers a bit more, less than a 40% target share. Seahawks on the flip side of things, J-Lo, I know people are excited with the Sam Darnold metrics and everything else, but who have they really beaten? I mean, last week against the Seahawks, it felt like it was all special teams. Above all else, I should say, against the Saints. Mm-hmm. I think Arizona is live in this spot, but I like the first half under and look for defense to rule the day, knowing the Seahawks' defensive backfield should be healthier on Thursday than what it's been.
Now, I will disagree with you. I bet the Seahawks plus 1.5 in my underdogs column. That line has since flipped. I'll keep it simple. Seahawks money line minus 120. For me, it's this defense, this Mike McDonald defense, getting great pressure with just the front four, and that leaves a lot of chaos and a lot of dynamic plays to work behind them. They can use the linebackers in a different way. He likes to mix up zone and man. We saw Kyler Murray struggle against this defense last year, 3 interceptions, and now there's injuries on the offensive line. James Conner gone. I feel like this Arizona defense, very one-dimensional coming in. So I took Seattle in the points. I still like them here as favorites, minus 120 on the money line, Thursday Night Football. All right, Todd, who's going to score a touchdown here in week 4? Odds, of course, provided by Bet365.
I mean, J-Lo, to be an anytime touchdown score, your team has to score. So last week, us picking Falcons when they put up a goose egg, probably not the perfect recipe. So I'm going to go to Sunday Night Football, and I'm going to look for rookie Matthew Golden to get into the end zone in a homecoming of sorts. Played his college ball at Texas. Love the fact that Green Bay is increasing his snap share 71% last week in week three against the Cleveland Browns. But more importantly, Matt LaFleur trying to find creative ways to get the ball in his playmaker's hands. He's been involved in the ground game as well each of the last couple weeks. Matthew Golden, plus 220, anytime touchdown score. Horns up, baby, against your Cowboys.
Yeah, and it helps that that secondary is a bunch of rusty lawn chairs right now, giving up some big plays.
Fair enough.
You know what? I'm going to go back to picking on the Panthers. Screw those guys. I'm going with Hunter Henry, plus 200. It's good to be a tight end when Josh McDaniels is calling plays. And we saw Henry targeted 11 times, 8 catches. He had 2 touchdowns last week. Takes on this Panthers team that has allowed the most yards to tight ends. They have given up a touchdown to the position. And Henry, third most snaps among tight ends. He's been targeted 5 times in the red zone. Many of the week 4 models as well, too, have him as the second most likely tight end to find pay dirt. I like it here, plus 200. He has a great nose for the end zone and an offense that likes to throw it to that big target in the end zone. All right, it's 2 minutes real time, which means our best bets for week 4. Todd, I'll go first here. I'm going with Lamar Jackson, 40-plus rushing yards, minus 110. Lamar is just going to be sick and tired of watching his teammates give up and ruin all of his hard work. This is going to be a playoff-like atmosphere in Arrowhead this week, and I see Jackson springing into action with his legs. On Monday, he was sacked 7 times. This Baltimore O-line is showing some soft spots, and Casey's pass rush started to get going in that second half against the Giants. I will say, in 6 matchups with Spags' defense, Lamar has run for at least 46 yards. He's had highs of 83, 107, 122 yards in week 1 of last year. Projections all above the 40-yard bar, some as high as 55. I like Lamar to go for 40 or more rushing yards here against the Chiefs.
I'll see your player prop, and I'll raise you a team total. Unfortunately, J-Lo, you're going to want to cover your ears. I think the Dallas Cowboys find it tough sledding on Sunday Night Football against their former running mate in Micah Parsons. I'll take the Cowboys team total under 19.5. Not only will the Cowboys go into battle on Sunday without CeeDee Lamb, the true number one in that passing attack, cluster injuries starting to mount along that offensive line as well. And this Green Bay defense has to be a bit ornery after what transpired in Cleveland. Dallas fails to get to 20, team total under 19.5.
Well, fandom be damned, because I'm going Green Bay Packers double result. The old first half, full game. My first bet of week 4 was snatching Green Bay -5.5 on Sunday night. I knew this one was going up, and now it's up to like a touchdown. The Packers come to Dallas in a bad mood. Not only is this the Parsons payback game, but they blew that 10-0 lead against the Browns last week. And even without all the added motivation and CeeDee Lamb being hurt, this is going to be an uphill climb for the Cowboys. Their defense is bad. This Green Bay defense is not. So light a candle for Dak. I think it's going to be a long game for him. Give me the Packers double result -120.
With my final best bet, I think you should spend the final 30 seconds putting that helmet on your head. I'm going to take the Falcons +1.5 against the Commanders. Look, I don't think this accounts for Jane Daniels potentially missing yet again. Terry McLaurin poised to miss the first game as a member of the Commanders going all the way back to 2020. Cluster injuries in that defensive backfield. And look, Atlanta wasn't nearly as bad as that 30-0 scoreline against the Carolina Panthers indicated. They've actually won the net yards per play battle in each of their first 3 games. Buy low on Atlanta, live home underdog. I'll take the +1.5. Not going to fault anybody if you bet them on the money line.
There you go. And we all know, because last week we took Mooney and Algier to score touchdowns, that they will score touchdowns.
100%. 100% both are getting in this week. Guaranteed.
Which is the way. Okay, that is it. The final horn. Another 600 seconds have come to a close. A big thanks for Mick for pitching in here in week 4. Big thanks to Todd, of course. Special thanks to the folks at Bet365. And, of course, thank you for spending another 10 minutes with us to get you ready for NFL week 4. A reminder, please rate, review, like, subscribe. Do all those things for the podcast to help push us out. Talk to more sports bettors like yourself. Before we go, I just want to acknowledge a big loss in the sports betting community this past weekend. Dave Sharapan, who a lot of people know better as Sportsbook Consigliere on X and the stories from the book, Dave passed away this past weekend. And I had known Dave for a while, both from his time behind the counter and then from his time in front of the camera. And I will honestly say, just one of the friendliest, welcoming guys in this industry. Whether you knew him for 10 years or 10 minutes, he felt like an old friend. And just an absolute genuine person with the best jersey hat game in the biz. Hands down. It didn't matter where he was. That's what he was wearing. And Dave will be missed a lot by folks across the industry. So myself, the folks at Cover, sending a lot of love to his family and friends. Todd, you're in the Vegas area. I know you knew Dave. Any great memories of Dave Sharapan?
I mean, you said it, one of the true class acts in a space that doesn't exactly lend itself towards guys that are upstanding, honest, mm-hmm. It's filled with a bunch of charlatans. And what you saw was what you got with Dave. You know, a lot of people see his persona on social media and think nobody could be that happy, that upbeat all the time. But that was Dave in a nutshell. Every time he saw you, it wasn't asking about how business was going or talking about games. The first question for me was always about family. He was so proud of his three daughters and wanted to talk about all of their softball exploits and mm-hmm. everything that had gone on. And I'll never forget, sat down to lunch with Dave a couple of years ago. I was dating or engaged. The timeline's a little bit blurred to my wife. All he wanted to know was about her and tried to warn me, hey, look, if you marry into a Yinzer family, it's a choice that you may start to question throughout your full life. And, you know, Dave, I know you're out there listening to us somewhere right now, but you couldn't have been more right and spot on with your handicap of all of that. So I feel the worst for his lovely wife and his three daughters he left behind. But there is no doubt that he's up there somewhere running the sports book, telling everybody nobody knows shit. And Dave, you're exactly right, man. Your presence will be lost in the sports betting space for sure.
All right. Well said. Well said. And we will miss Dave a lot. All right. We will be back next week. We're actually heading into October, which is crazy. It's going to be NFL week 5. Until then, best of luck with your bets.